guys on the front row may be unlucky tonight. I've had allergies all week. And when they hit, they just don't hit me. They hit others in range. Amen. All right. I hope I'm joking. Open your Bibles to the book of Daniel tonight. We're going to do just a little Bible study. Brother Bert said a while ago, a lot of folks talking about the rapture. Well, that's fine. Talking about it won't make it happen. And what you think about it don't necessarily have to be true if it don't line up with the Bible. Amen. Daniel is a book that has a lot to do with not the rapture, but what a lot of folks are talking about. They want to talk about the Antichrist. So there's no book in the Bible has more identifying marks than Daniel does on the Antichrist. Not kind of going that way tonight, but there's a very important portion in Daniel chapter 9. Our official position at Landmark, in the college, in the school, in the church, is what the pastor preaches about it. We are pre-trib. We are expecting Jesus before the Antichrist is identified. We believe then the Lord has to come back at the end of the tribulation period and by force and power take over his kingdom and set it up for 1,000 years. Now, you say, where'd you get that from? Got it from history as well as the Bible. You go back far as you want to with Independent Baptists, and that is the main doctrine. That is the main doctrine of all the Bible colleges. Tennessee Temple. Springfield, Missouri. Even colleges up north that are a little more to the left of us in a lot of ways. Moody, Wheaton. That's still premillennial position. So here lately, been a lot of talk about folks that got smarter than God ever revealed anybody else. And all of a sudden, somebody has to come on the scene and reveal a new truth that God let all of us preach air through all these years, over 100 years. I don't believe that for a minute. Not for a minute. And questions are raised like this. How can you prove the tribulation period is 7 years long? Well, the book of Daniel. We'll read it. In just a moment, we'll read it. But let me say this. God has always dealt with the Jews on the number seven. That's his creation mark. That's the mark he dealt with the Jews all through history. And he's still going to wind up on sevens with them, just like he predicted. And that's what we have here in the passage. So we'll talk to you about that in just a minute. When you get to the book of Revelation, the seven-year period is cut into half, and it's called 3.5 years. It's called 1,260 days. It's called 42 months. All of it is described in the latter half or the great tribulation that takes place after the Antichrist sets himself up in the temple that's going to be rebuilt and declares himself to be God. From that point on, you got 1,260 days, you got 42 months, you got 3.5 years, and you got God's wrath falling against the Antichrist. But he's going to survive to the end when he's finally thrown in to the lake of fire. He and the false prophet both. There's two beasts in Revelation 13. Both of them are thrown into the lake of fire. Later, 1,000 years later, Satan is going to be added to them. That's the book of Revelation. I haven't taught it but about 20 times, maybe more than that, in my ministry. And by the way, we don't go by tradition. We go by the Bible. But you shouldn't discard what God has led his men through the years to stand and preach and has blessed that preaching. How many souls have been saved under the preaching that Jesus was coming soon? Bunch of them. A bunch of them. Look at it here, and Scofield's notes, I don't agree with him every time on everything, but he's right on Daniel chapter 9, and he's right on dividing the 70 weeks. Daniel has got through with one of the most powerful prayers in the Bible. God has sent a heavenly messenger by the name of Gabriel in verse 21 to come to Daniel and tell Daniel what's fixing to happen to Daniel's people. Now tell me this, who is Daniel's people?
Jews.
The church is not in this passage I'm fixing to read to you. It's Jews, it's Daniel's people. Rightly divide the word of God and it'll keep you out of a heap of trouble. Here it is. While I was speaking in prayer, even the man Gabriel, whom I had seen in the vision of the beginning, being caused to fly swiftly, touched me about the time of the evening oblation, that's about 3 p.m., and he informed me and talked with me and said, O Daniel, I am now come forth to give thee skill and understanding. At the beginning of thy supplication, the commandment came forth, and I am come to show thee, for thou art greatly beloved. Therefore, understand the matter and consider the vision. Here it starts down in verse 24, and this is one of the most important verses in the Bible for you to get your Bible right. 70 weeks are determined upon thy people. Now we know, and I don't want to take time to go back and prove it, but you can prove that these weeks are weeks of years. 7 years per week. Let me put it this way. If you had a week of oranges, you'd have 7. If you had a week of apples, you'd have 7. If you have a week of years, you got 7, right? All right. Now, Scofield's notes will show you this also. 70 weeks, all right, 70 weeks here equals 490 years, 70 weeks of years. And 70 weeks are determined upon the church. Is that what it says? It says thy people, don't it? And upon thy holy city. Do you know what that is? That's Jerusalem. To finish the transgression and to make an end of sins, to make a reconciliation for iniquity, and to bring in everlasting righteousness, and to seal up the vision and prophecy, and to anoint the most holy. I preached on all those before. That's a big thing that the Lord is doing, and you got about 6 of them listed right there, on down to him being anointed as the most holy. Then he says, know therefore and understand that from the going forth of the commandment to restore and to build Jerusalem unto the Messiah the Prince shall be 7 weeks and 62 weeks, that's 69 weeks, and the street shall be built again, and the wall even in troublesome times. Now you can read about that, Ezra, Nehemiah, the rebuilding of the city and the rebuilding of the walls, and it took 49 years to do it, just like Daniel is told right here. But a starting point there is where the decree went forth, the commandment to restore and rebuild Jerusalem. That's a starting point. Verse 26, and after 62 weeks shall Messiah be cut off, but not for himself. That's Jesus. He didn't die for himself. He died for us. The Messiah shall be cut off, but not for himself. That's the gospel right there. And the people of the prince that shall come. Now watch this one. And the people of the prince that shall come shall destroy the city and the sanctuary. All right, this is history. A people came that destroyed the city and the temple in AD 70. We know Flavius Josephus tells us all about it. Titus, the Roman emperor in AD 70, he done this. Now, the Roman people came. They were the people of the future prince that is going to come. And it's that prince that some of y'all want to come before Jesus comes. I don't know why. He's not going to do you no good if you're still here, I'll tell you that. But it says, and the people of the prince that shall come, and that takes you right back down to verse 27, the he here is the prince that shall come, shall destroy the city and the sanctuary, and the end thereof shall be with a flood. And unto the end of the war, desolations are determined. All that we're going through in history, desolations. Now he, that prince, shall confirm the covenant with many for 1 week. 1 week. How long is the tribulation period? 7 years. A week of years is 7 years. So don't tell me it's not declared in the Bible how long it is. There it is. It's a week. It's a week of 7 years. 1 week. In the midst of the week, that's what you read about in Revelation in the latter part, 1260 days, 3.5 years, 42 months. In the midst of the week, he shall cause the sacrifice and the oblation to cease. Now, where is that going to be taking place? In the rebuilt temple. He's going to stop it. At first, he's going to agree to it. He's going to set it up. Then he's going to double cross them. And he's going to cause it to cease. And for the overspreading of abominations, he shall make it desolate, even unto the consummation. And that determined shall be poured upon the desolate. Now, let me just say a few things, because time's not going to allow me to do as good as I should on it. If you'll turn back now to the book of Jeremiah, hold your place here, but turn back to the book of Jeremiah. You'll find it quick as I will. Mine's not marked. Chapter 30. Back to your left, Jeremiah. Go to Jeremiah chapter 30. If you pick it up in the first 7 verses, you'll almost be reading the newspaper. Watch it here in Jeremiah 30. The word came to Jeremiah from the Lord, saying, "Thus speaketh the Lord God of Israel, saying, write thee all the words that I have spoken unto thee in a book." God told Jeremiah what to write, and he gave him another copy after the old king burned it. Remember? Verse 3, "For the days come, saith the Lord, that I will bring again the captivity of my people Israel and Judah, saith the Lord, and I will cause them to return to the land." Now, I want to say, folks, we're on the other side of this prophecy. They have already returned to the land. We're on this side of this. It's been fulfilled. "They returned to the land that I gave to their fathers." Somebody says, "Hey, the Arabs own it." No, they don't. The Jews. "He gave it to their fathers. And they shall possess it. And these are the words of the Lord spake concerning Israel, concerning Judah. For thus saith the Lord, we have heard a voice of trembling, of fear, and not of peace." Now, that's not good news. It's scaring them. They're trembling. It's a voice of fear. It's not a voice of peace. Read on. "Ask ye now, and see whether a man doth travail with child. Wherefore do I see every man with his hands on his loins, as a woman in travail, and all faces are turned into paleness." Now, what's he pictured? He's pictured men holding themselves like the baby was about to come. Why? Because they're scared to death about what is about to come. It's a bad time. That's what he's saying. He is describing the tribulation period. Go on further and you'll see that. Down in verse 7. "Alas for that day," special day. No, it ain't one day long. It's a period of time. Often in the Bible, a day is spoken of as a period of time. "Alas for that day is great, so that there's none like it." In Matthew chapter 24, Jesus said it would be great tribulation like there'd never been before. Same day Jesus was talking about. "In that none is like it. It is even the time of Jacob's trouble." Jacob's a synonym for Israel. It's the time of Israel's trouble. Jacob's trouble. I like the next line. "But he shall be saved out of it." God is going to take them through. There's going to be 144,000 of them. It's going to be great evangelists. And a lot of souls are going to be saved. Jews are going to be reached. But they're going to come down to the place they're whipped until Jesus returns and saves them. Revelation 19, he comes back leaving the armies of heaven with a sword coming out of his mouth. He defeats the Antichrist and the armies, the UN armies, and America's armies may be in that. I hope not, because a lot of them are going to get raptured out ahead of time, but those that are left will be in the UN's armies. Battle of Armageddon. It'll happen, but he'll be saved out of it. Look at it, verse 8. "For it shall come to pass in that day, saith the Lord of hosts, that I will break his yoke." Whose yoke? The Antichrist yoke. "From off thy neck, and will burst thy bonds, and strangers shall no more serve themselves of him, but they shall serve the Lord their God, and David their king." When does David the king show back up? When the throne, when David's seed sets upon the throne. That's referring here to the millennial reign. So it all lines up exactly. They were scattered. They brought back to their land. We have lived to see them brought back to their land. Now, a terrible time is coming, a fearful time. But it'll be Jacob's trouble, but God's going to deliver him out of it. And then their king is going to sit on the throne. That's the millennial reign. Read about it, Revelation 20. It's 1,000 years long. Say, what are you saying, preacher? I'm saying it is good to be excited about the rapture. Fine, it's all right to speculate who the Antichrist is. People have been talking about that a lot longer than you've been living. If you want to read the foreword in the front of your King James Bible, you'll find out the translators already figured out who it was. You didn't read that, did you? Oh, yeah. Paul thought he knew who he was, too. He called him the man of sin. A letter to Thessalonica, didn't he? Paul talked about our gathering together. Somebody says the name rapture's not in the Bible, but in that getting caught up, you look up the word and you find rapture in the Latin. But the rest of it is we snatched up, caught up. Call it rapture, call it whatever you want to, brother. We're going up when he calls us. And that's good enough for me. If I'm going up on an airplane, I don't care what you name it, just keep it up there. Amen. Anyway, people have speculated on the Antichrist. Nothing wrong with doing that. Done that down through the ages. Do you know you had one pope calling the other pope Antichrist in history? You ought to read some history sometime. It's interesting stuff. Oh, yeah. Do you know all the presidents of America, almost all of them at one time or another, has been accused of being the Antichrist? Did you know that? Henry Kissinger, remember, he was all the presidents. I remember when Jimmy Carter was president. I knew he was not the Antichrist because the Antichrist is going to have a high IQ. He's going to be suave and clever and smart, so I knew it wasn't Jimmy. Then Clinton come along, and everybody says it's got to be him. I said, no, I read in the book of Daniel where the Antichrist will have no desire for women. That eliminates Bill. Check it out. That's what it says about him in the book of Daniel. Sure does. So Bill was struck off the list. Then Bush. Especially the Bushes and Bush Jr. Because he was a member of the Skull and Crossbones Club in college. So they had him as the Antichrist. Well, it turned out he wasn't. Then, of course, we moved on up to Obama, and we just were sure that was him. Because his name added up. If you go back in the original letters on the name of Barack Obama, you can count out 666. Barack means lightning. In Arabic, it means lightning. He was named after Muhammad's horse. Muhammad's horse was named Lightning. Barack. Barack. And Jesus said, I beheld Satan as lightning falling from heaven. Had to be Barack. But I'm beginning to doubt that now. I'm beginning to doubt that. Don't think so. Well, Trump's on the scene. Must be him. You think I'm idly talking. There's all kind of people. They get on the internet. They get everywhere. And by the way, some of them couldn't have an audience if the internet hadn't been invented. They've never run a bus route. They've never built a Sunday school class. They've never pastored a church. But they got an audience automatic by pushing buttons. Who was it in Hollywood? Was it Cecil DeMille? Or one of them said, a sucker is born every day. Remember that? Anyway, pretty close to right. Got a lot of suckers out there. Anyway, though, coming on down, could it be Trump? I don't think so, because I think the Antichrist is going to be smooth and have flattering speech. Yeah. I think Trump eliminated himself pretty much on that. So I don't know who he's going to be, and I don't care. What I care is I'm ready to meet my Savior when he comes. Amen. That's all I care. I'm not looking for the Antichrist. I'm looking for the Jesus Christ that died for me on the cross and paid for my sins. I'm not trying to meddle with what the Jews have got coming. The Lord's yet going to finish his program with Israel. And he's always dealt in sevens. When they stole his Sabbath, In the book of Leviticus, every seventh year they were supposed to leave the land vacant, not plant it, remember? He told them, leave it vacant. He said, if you leave it vacant, I'll make the 6 years produce enough that you don't have to plant and you don't have to harvest. But those Jews would have made good Baptists. Good Baptists that steal the tithe. Here's what they did. They planted on the seventh year. And lightning didn't hit them. And it didn't snow during harvest. So God really didn't mean what he said, right? So they planted the next seventh year, and the next seventh year, and the next seventh year, and the next one, until they counted up 490 years they stole that seventh year. 490 years, and lightning didn't hit them. But then something happened. The Babylonians, Chaldeans, came and took them into captivity into Babylon. Remember? How long were they in Babylon? 70 years. Divide 7 into 490 and you'll see God collected the rent all at one time. 70 years they owed him. 70 years is what he took. Somebody said, well, God didn't get me today, but how about tomorrow? How about next week? How about next year? You think he's forgot? I used to hope Daddy forgot. He didn't forget much. And my Heavenly Father's not going to forget at all. Amen? And so be careful about some of this junk that's going around today. You see, if I had to wait to know who the Antichrist was, now I may suspicion him. I got some suspicions right now. A couple of you look funny to me. You're out there right now. I got some suspicions. I may have some strong suspicions. But I don't have to know who he is before Jesus comes. If so, then the coming of Jesus is not imminent. And this whole Bible makes his coming at any moment imminent. Don't the scriptures say, watch ye therefore, for you know not what hour the Son of Man cometh? Amen. Don't it say that? How many times it says? It says it in Matthew 24. It says it in Mark, what, 6, whatever it is there. And not 6, Mark 13. Listen to it. But of that day and of that hour knows no man, no, not the angels which are in heaven, neither the Son of Man nor the Father. Take ye heed, watch, and pray, for you know not when the time is. So his coming is imminent. Did Paul think that he might come in his day? Paul may have thought that. Could he have come in Paul's day? Yeah, could have. But he didn't. He let the church age run now for over 2,000 years by our calendar. But he hadn't forgot his promise to come. What is he coming for anyway? He's coming for his bride. That's right. By the way, let me just drop this on you. There is no bride of Christ alive right now. We won't be his bride until we're called out. See, that little girl can get in that corner room up there when I'm about to have a marriage ceremony, and this old boy can come in here and he can stand till the cows come home. If she don't come out of that room and come down that aisle and join him, she's not his bride until he says, I do, and she says, I do, and the preacher says, I pronounce you man and wife. Amen. Now she's his bride. That's why I say, now you can kiss your bride. Don't kiss her ahead of time. All right, I won't meddle there too much, but truth is, she's not the bride until the I do's. We will not be the bride of Jesus until we are called out. Call that girl out of the room. Bring her down here. Call us up to meet the heavenly bridegroom in heaven. There's going to be the marriage supper of the Lamb. How long is that shindig in heaven going to last? That marriage supper of the Lamb, our calling out, becoming the bride. How long is it going to last? Well, you know what the Jewish wedding did? It lasted 7 days. 7 days, not 3.5. 7 days. Amen? Check out your marriage. See, Jesus was talking about the Jewish marriage in John 14 when he said, not only let not your heart be troubled, you believe in God, believe also in me. He went on down there and he said, I'm going away to prepare a place for you. The Jewish crowd listening to him knew what he was talking about. Because when that Jewish boy went to get that, to ask that girl to marry him, and if she said, I do, I will, and you've heard me tell the story. He went in with a flask of wine. He set it on the table, and he had a gift. And he went in, and he had two glasses, and he poured the glasses of wine there on the table. And he took a sip, and if she went over and took a sip, she was saying, I'll be your wife. Then he went back to his father's house, that Jewish boy did, and he started cutting that tree down that his dad had planted when he was a little bitty baby, when he was born. Now that tree's big enough, they cut it down and they make wood out of it and they start adding a room onto his father's house. Read the thing about the Jewish marriage. It's beautiful. And he's working. He's saying to his father, don't you think this is good enough? I can go get her now. Father said, nope, not yet. Don't the scripture say not even the angels, only the Father in heaven knows when, right? So one day, the father says, son, it's finished. Go get your bride. Right now, Jesus is in heaven. He's building mansions for the saved. And one day, the father's going to say, son, go get your bride. And the trumpet's going to sound, and we're going to be caught out, and we are called out bride for the marriage ceremony of the Lamb. It's going to last 7 days, 7 years. 7 years of the tribulation period. We're going to be having a big time while hell on earth is breaking loose. That's right. That's the picture. Keep that picture in mind. 7 years, God deals with the Jews on sevens. Always has. Now, here's what I would like to say to you. The rapture could be imminent. It's going to happen quick. It'll be in a twinkle of an eye. It'll be with the sound of the trumpet. Now, there's two big events that will help you keep your mind straight on the Antichrist. Do I think I know who he is? No, not really. Do I agree with the translators? He may sit in the Pope's seat. Well, he or the false prophet one will. Probably will. They thought it was one of the popes that would show up one day. Hadn't showed up yet, but they think he will. And so we've watched a lot of popes. There's a lot of signs that indicate who the Antichrist is. You've heard me preach on it. If a fellow comes to political office or sits as a pope or some well-known figure, powerful figure in Europe, I think he will probably come out of the old Roman Empire, like so many students believe. But anyway, Book of Zechariah gives you some identifying marks on the Antichrist. Book of Revelation tells you something about it. He's going to be wounded, but he's going to live. Book of Zechariah says he's going to lose an eye and an arm. He's going to have a crippled arm, and he's going to lose an eye. Watch out for the next guy that gets assassinated. If he lives through it and comes out losing an eye and an arm, you say, well, he's suspicious. That's what Zechariah talks about. All right, I'll move off. Here's the two big events, though. The biggest one is what I read right here. Go back to Daniel. Go back to Daniel chapter 10. I'm sorry, chapter 9 and verse 27. Look at it, college students. And he, that Antichrist, shall confirm the covenant with many for 1 week. And in the midst of the week, halfway mark, he shall cause the sacrifice and oblation to cease, and for the overspreading of abominations he shall make it desolate. Now, here's what I want you to get. He shall confirm the covenant with many for 1 week. Now, what is the covenant? Well, most of us today, because it's been in the news, I mean, every president for the last several, Jimmy Carter done his best to get a covenant of peace with Israel. You remember that. They went to Camp David, and they had the Camp David Accords, and he had the Jewish leader and old Arafat, the ugly Arab over there. Anyway, he tried to make a peace covenant between them. You guys too young to remember that, but us older folks, we remember that. And he thought he had it. He did actually draw it up. It is still drawn up, but it's still unsigned. Jimmy Carter made a great effort at it. He wanted to be the peacemaker. Well, by the time Bill Clinton come, he thought, I'll get the credit for doing the thing nobody else has been able to do, bring peace with Israel and the Arabs. So he worked at it hard. And he had Arafat standing on the White House lawn, and he had Malcolm Begum, the Jewish leader, standing over there. And he'd been behind doors with them. He'd been talking. He was trying. So he finally got him out in front of the cameras. It was an interesting date. It was September the 13th that year. Anyway, get off of that. But anyway, he tried to get him to shake hands. And they neither one moved to shake hands. Finally, he got this one's hand, and he got this one like two little kids. And he put them together. And he made them shake hands. You know what it meant? Nothing. Nothing. You know what Arafat told him? Not publicly, but told him privately. You're trying to get me killed. If I sign that thing, I'll die. He meant if I go back home, they'll kill me. By the way, somebody did. Anyway, later. It didn't work. But Clinton tried awful hard. So where are we at now? Guess who's trying now? Well, Trump's trying. His son-in-law, I believe it's his son-in-law, is over there maybe right now trying. And is the covenant a covenant of a Palestinian state? Whatever it is, it's peace. But let me tell you, just because we go home tonight and turn on the news and it says a peace treaty has been signed with Israel, don't make it this one. Here's why. The peace covenant here is going to include the right for Israel to rebuild the temple. It's not just going to be a Palestinian state agreement. It's going to be more than that. So there's two big events you need to watch for if you're trying to track the Antichrist. And there's really not much point in it. Truth is, be ready to meet the real Christ when he comes. But if you are, that one event bears watching. And we'll get very suspicious of who gets the credit for signing a covenant with Israel. We'll have to watch that covenant to see if it is the covenant mentioned in the Bible I just read about or not. However, there's a bigger event. And if you see this one, you will know who he is. And if you see this one, you're going to be in bad shape, because you're going to be in the middle of the tribulation period. And that tribulation period don't belong to God's children, don't belong to the betrothed, the bride to be, don't belong to you. Belongs to Israel and the Jews. That big event is also referred to in this same verse I read. He shall confirm the covenant with many for 1 week, and in the midst of the week, the middle of the week, he shall cause the sacrifice and oblation to cease. Where's that at? That's in the temple. What does Paul say to the Thessalonican church? It says that man of sin that he'll set it in the temple, showing himself to be God. That event you won't miss. If you're here, you'll know that one. That's when he double crosses Israel, and that's when Israel is persecuted like never before. That's when the great tribulation breaks upon them, that Jesus said there's nothing ever like it. Even the Holocaust, he says. I mean, don't you think Jesus knew Hitler was coming? Don't you think he knew the Holocaust was ahead? And yet he said in Matthew 24, there'd never be a day like this one, like the great tribulation. You got that? That means pretty bad. But I read in Jeremiah 30, that he's going to be saved out of it. The nation of Israel will have a remnant that'll come out of that tribulation period, according to the word of God. And there'll still be a remnant of Israel when Jesus splits the clouds in Revelation 19, leading the armies of heaven upon a white horse. And the Battle of Armageddon takes place, and Israel will be saved. And the millennial kingdom will be given, and it'll be Israel's kingdom that was promised to them from the beginning for 1,000 years. And David's throne will be set up again, as we just read, David's throne. Now, I read in Jeremiah 30, two big events, one of them the peace covenant, the other one sitting in the temple and declaring himself God. Now, given the translators of the King James and all, and by the way, we just had the 500th year anniversary of Martin Luther nailing his 95 theses to the Wittenberg church door wall. You know who Martin Luther thought the Antichrist was? The Pope. He called him that. When he wrote a letter to the Pope, he didn't say, "You're most holy." He said, "You're most hellish." Yet the letter still exists. Old Martin was rough. He was an awful lot like our present president. Oh, I don't have time to fool with this, but Martin Luther said, I don't know if he's unjust, but he did say it. Maybe he was kidding. I hope he was. He said, when you drink beer, you get sleepy. When you sleep, you don't sin. So drink more beer. I hope he was kidding. But he was rough. But he did get the job done. He did start out. And he was blessed and preserved because the Anabaptists helped him in his beginning. But then he turned on them too and done bad to them. He was some character. But I'm saying this to you. We are living on the prophetical fulfillment side of Israel back in the land. We have every reason in the world, these verses I've read, to expect the imminent return of Jesus Christ. We don't have to see another sign. We don't have to know who the Antichrist is. We don't have to know anything else. Jesus could come. And it could wrap up so fast. Can you imagine what it would do to America, to the world, if the believers were caught out? Somebody says, where's America? It won't matter after that. They won't have any restraint on them. They won't have any guidance. And right now, the only thing restraining the evil in our country is the Christian believer, Holy Spirit influence. That's all that's doing any restraining right now. And it looks like we're, looking at the polls, it looks like we're losing. But the church is not going to lose. It's going to be victorious. It's going to go up, and if you could see the wedding in the sky in heaven, you'd know who the winner is. And so, okay, I'm excited that Jesus is coming. In the meantime, what does the Bible tell me to do? Occupy till he comes. That don't mean sit down and do nothing. It means win souls. It means live clean. It means doing everything we can. And I'm going to live it without fear, because the Bible says the coming of Jesus Christ for the saved is our blessed hope. Titus 2:13, our blessed hope. My hope is not in the Antichrist, it's in Jesus Christ. Amen. He's my blessed hope. So with all that's going on the TV and everywhere else and all the speculation, just keep your head on straight. Jesus is coming, and it's right to say he's coming soon. Amen. All right, let's stand.